Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome to this week's Man in the Post Extra Time. I'm your host, Chris. With me this week, I've got Jesse. Hola.
Hola to you, Chris.
How are you?
Muy bien. Oh, yes, yeah. Good.
Feliz Navidad. we got Emma.
Hola.
Hola, buenos dente. How are you?
Cansada.
Excellent.
It's so great how Chris speaks Welsh to us.
And we humour him.
Yeah. My little pair of telebancos. And he's back after a few months absence. It's few months absence. It's Housewife's favourite, Andy.
If we're sticking with the whole trying to speak in our own dialect, I guess I should say, like, all right.
Okay, you know.
Did you fucking start this? Just itching, I swear to God.
Andy, didn't you miss us so much?
Ah, certain people on this call. <aren't>.
Fair enough. Well, look, we're going to talk about the Champions League, so we'll cheer Andy up by starting at the Emirates. So, Tuesday night, it was Arsenal 1, Porto 0. Arsenal were 1-0 down after the first leg due to that late goal. Leandro Trossard scored the only goal of the game as Arsenal won 1-0 and drew the game 1-1 on aggregate, sending the game to penalties, which Arsenal won 4-2. David Raya, the hero there. First quarter final since 2010. And yeah, it's a very long time. I've written here, Arsenal dominate, but Porto still dangerous. 7 also went close. Flavio Conceição also went close. Arsenal had 13 shots. Porto had 10. So it was quite a close run thing, wasn't it? And 41-year-old Pepe did pretty well at the back, didn't he?
Yeah, he's still an excellent player. He's still somebody I wouldn't like to bump into in a dark alley or anything, but I mean, he's still a very accomplished defender. Arsenal, I think just about on the balance of it, deserve to go through, but yeah, Porto are a good solid outfit. Sergio Conceição, I think their manager, is that right?
Yeah.
He's proven to be pretty decent at this level. Arsenal did what they had to eventually. I would imagine that the last week has probably pretty much put the kibosh on Aaron Ramsdale's career as future Arsenal number one, given the mistake at the weekend and then Raya's heroics during the shootout. But yeah, bodes well for Arsenal that they've come through this kind of game. That's the kind of game that has left them unstuck in previous years. As you said, 14 years since our last Champions League quarterfinal. Arsenal will feel that they've got a chance against everybody left in that tournament, I would imagine, but
really?
They just about did enough. Yeah, I think so. I don't think there shouldn't be anybody in that tournament left who should really scare them. Bayern are obviously having a pretty weird season by their standards. They can't go into any potential future game if they get past that stage against like Man City if they're scared of them, because that does bode well for the league. And then the other teams in it. Yeah, I think every team in that is there for the taking. Every team has world-class players and has potential match winners, but I think every team left in the tournament also has some pretty glaring flaws. And so it's about who turns up on the day. Sorry, I'm a complete cliche machine at the moment. But Arsenal shouldn't be scared about anybody who's left in that tournament, I don't think.
Okay. Emma, is the Nile just a river in Egypt?
No.
Okay. I'm just wondering whether Andy's in a state of it, because I think there's some better teams than Arsenal in it.
I think the Nile is an amazing state of being, and people should go forth.
It's a place where I choose to live. It's peaceful.
Yeah. Emma and I welcome you all. Yeah.
Look, I have skin in the game in the Champions League currently, so I appreciate the denial.
Emma, you have blood in the game and a black eye.
I do, and a
broken blood vessel.
Yeah. I'm sure, little baby. I've got fight in the game. Yeah.
Well, Andy, how did you feel come the penalty shootout? I mean, while it was still 1-0 to the Arsenal, as they think, were you nervous about Porto breaking down the other end and scoring a second? And then when it came to penalties, how were you feeling?
No, as much as Porto played quite well, I don't think they were super concerning for Arsenal at the back. Arsenal, at the moment, best defence in England, at least. Mm. One of the better defences in Europe, I would imagine. And then the penalty shootout, oddly enough, no, penalty shootouts normally terrify the hell out of me. I just felt very confident in this one. Arsenal have got a good batch of penalty takers. They've got a good batch of players who have now got big game experience. And so it was all, to me, it was always going to come down to the keepers rather than the people taking the penalties. And thankfully for Arsenal, Raya was the better of the two.
Well, I guess Aaron Ramsey does his missing in penalty shootouts for Rangers now rather than Arsenal, doesn't he?
Look, your team's in the Europa League and you're here talking about Champions League. You step away for this conversation.
Fair enough.
You come back next year.
Emma and Jesse, did either of you see this game?
I saw extra time.
Yeah, okay. And what did you make of it? It should be scraps.
Extra time.
Yes.
Classic extra time stuff.
Fair enough. But did you have an inkling as to how good Arsenal were? Or do you not really see
them? I basically turned it on for the extra time and the penalties. That's all I saw.
Okay. Jesse, did you see any of this?
No.
Marvellous. That's all right. Well, okay. Andy, anything you want to say about Arsenal before we move on to the next game?
No, I'm good.
No worries. Okay. Also, Tuesday night in Spain, it was Barcelona 3, Napoli 1. Goals from Lopez, Cancelo and Lewandowski. Barcelona had to work pretty hard at this, as Napoli also scored through Amir Rahmani. But they needed Sergio Roberto, didn't they, Emma, to make an assist?
Right. I don't think they worked that hard. Like, from the start, we started real well, and those goals that we scored, like the first two goals, they were coming. They were going to happen.
Okay, because
you're speaking like a man who did not see this game.
I'm a man that saw the highlights of the game, to be fair, and I remember Tostegan making...
In the chat. We went over this in the group chat.
Yeah, but I wasn't watching, unfortunately. I couldn't watch it.
We basically gave you, like... real-time commentary.
Yeah, you did.
Like play for play.
You did. I just remember Tostegan making a couple of saves watching back in the high. I mean, to be fair, I watched a lot of games this week, so they all sort of blend into one.
No, he did. They had a few chances, but I think we were the better team, and I'm not used to saying that this season.
Okay.
You were, but also, can you talk about my poor little baby?
Araujo? Yeah. Well, he makes me so nervous these days.
He is they broke his face.
I know they did.
Did you see him afterwards? His whole eye was like bright red.
Yeah, he looks like he's going to have a problem like seeing out of his eye today. Like, yeah. Poor baby. He didn't deserve that.
No, and then he was like streaming blood and they just like glued him together on the sideline.
That's where we're at right now. Like, if you are like broken but you can still move, you're going back in there.
So you felt you were quite confident during this. You didn't feel sort of troubled at all by Napoli.
No, not really.
No. Were you happy with what you saw?
I love saying that. It's so weird.
Were you happy with what you saw from your team?
2011 all over again.
Were you happy with what you saw from your team as well?
Yes, for the most part. They did a fine job, and they're all just babies. Like, so I'm really proud of them.
All of them?
Most of them.
Okay.
There's several babies in there.
Isn't that mean, like, 16?
Yeah.
Is Lewandowski 16?
Fermin isn't very old. Paul, in the defense, he's, like, a fetus.
Lewandowski, Sergio Roberto.
I didn't say they were all babies.
But, like, the ones who are babies are such babies that it, like, you can't concentrate on anything but the fact that they look like they haven't started shaving yet.
Yeah, like, you shouldn't be driving a car.
Right. How did you get to the stadium? Is it past your bedtime?
Do you have your parents' permission to be here?
Right. Did you finish your homework yet?
They're so cute, though.
To be fair, it's not the first time that Barcelona haven't paid much respect to child labour laws.
Oh yeah, we don't do that.
Fair enough. Jesse, you saw this as well. Anything you want to say on this game?
Yes, I really need Araujo to be okay, and so he should check like the bones around his little eye socket.
Okay.
But I agree with Emma.
What I will say,
there was no question that they were going to win.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Emma.
What I will say in like the polar opposite of Andy, I think every team left in the competition are better than us. Like, they're so much better.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm thinking Dortmund don't impress me a huge amount. Atleti, we're going to talk about in a second, their away form this season isn't good, is it? Yeah, although they're quite imperious at home, I understand that.
Right. Hold on here. You just told me that I can't say that Arsenal shouldn't be scared of anybody in this tournament, and now you're going on. But look at all the other teams in this tournament. They're rubbish. Barcelona have got a chance. Double standards here, Chris. But just admit you don't like Arsenal, and we can get on with this conversation.
Okay. I mean, I like Arsenal, but yeah, that's a fair point. I understand.
You got me there. I kind of want to get Arsenal in the next round, if I'm honest.
Well, it's a nice
tradition that we used to have.
Arteta can suss the place out for next season. Is that what you?
No, he's not coming.
No.
No.
Who is coming? Is there talk on the Rambler? What's the talk of the unfinished cathedral? Right, who's coming?
It's almost finished now.
Is it?
Yeah. Who was the last person I heard? Tuchel.
Oh, okay.
I could do without that. Unless he's learned some social skills.
Yeah, it's like we said the other week, a very good coach just with no social skills.
And he needs social skills here.
Yeah, I think he probably does. Wednesday night then, Atletico Madrid 2, Inter Milan 1. Goals from Griezmann, DiMarco gave Inter the lead. And they were coasting home at that point. And then goals from Griezmann and a late goal from Memphis Depay. Brought the game back. Jan Oblak saved in the penalty shootout. Atleti won 3-2 in penalties. Jan Oblak saved from Sanchez. David Klaassen, who I didn't realise has had a hair transplant. I didn't realise it was him. Munoz, Martinez smashed the ball over the bar for his shootout. It's all missed for Atleti. Riquelme had a chance after Depay scored as well, didn't he, to sort of grab the game at the death and avoid all the extra time and penalties. And Martinez also could have had some chances as well before the penalties. So this was a fun game, wasn't it?
This was such a fun match, oh my God.
Is Riquelme son of?
Is he what?
Is he the son of?
Oh my God, I thought, okay. Did anybody else hear that as like...
Like S-O-B? Word?
Like... No, I heard it as like a like sun up. Like I okay.
Okay, sorry. That's my Leicester Cornish accent getting you there.
My fault. Sorry.
Is he the son of ... recall me.
I don't know, but I'm gonna Google it right now.
I'm gonna Google that too because I think it is seeing Lilian Duran's children play is like batshit. And so if they're playing with Raquelma's baby.
What's his name? Rodrigo? Roberto?
Rodrigo?
Jesse, I don't need you to Google. I need you to talk about this game as you saw it.
I will stop Googling then. This game was... It was, I think, the best match to be a neutral for.
Yeah.
Because it was end-to-end. It could have gone any way at any point. And Jan Oblak... I will say, Summer also who my mom has a giant crush on. So if he's listening, you know, call my mom.
Well, she's married to a dad.
She is, and they're delightful together, but I don't know.
Do they have an open relationship, your parents, do they?
I don't want to know if they do, but she still says she has a crush on Jan Sommer.
Okay.
But I think Oblak was spectacular, and obviously my favorite part of this entire fun match was that both Alexis Sanchez and Lautaro Martinez just lost the match. I mean, what was that penalty from Lautaro? I could have done that.
Chris Waddle did do it a long time ago.
Lautaro Martinez, I don't think I've ever known such a good player to be such a bottle merchant in big games. Because he was dreadful during the World Cup. Like, genuinely dreadful. He didn't have a great game in the Champions League final. He didn't have a great game yesterday, missed the penalty. It's bizarre because obviously he's been on fire in Serie A. But I genuinely can't remember the last time such a talented player failed to show up in so many big games.
Andy, have you ever heard of a player called Edinson Cavani?
Wow.
Look, we're not factionalizing this, Chris. I'm not having this. If there's any factions here, it's all us against you. That's how it works.
Jesse's hand is currently leapt out of my laptop and throttling me.
I am holding hands with Andy and Emma in my mind so we can just battery down.
No, I only say that because someone talked to Sid Lowe's talk about this, I think, on the Football Weekly podcast yesterday, because they were talking about the same point you're making, Andy, about Lautaro Martinez, and they were talking about other players that have got such good numbers, but you can't remember a game in which they played well, and someone said Cavani. Maybe think of you, Jesse.
Was this somebody you?
No, well, no, I'm not moonlighting another podcast. No, it definitely wasn't me.
I think I also, like, I don't want to say this because I really like him, but Saul, like, I could have hit that penalty. I feel like and it was fine because ultimately Oblak saved him, but he needs to take a hard look at himself in the mirror and, like, wonder why he was chosen.
I think there are a few teams that are left in that tournament who are very pleased with that result. Athletic, don't get me wrong, Athletic are a good, solid team built for these kind of tournaments. They'll give anybody a game. But Inter really did come into this game as probably the form team in the whole of Europe. Simone Inzaghi's got them playing some really excellent stuff, very unique style that they've got about them at the moment. I do find myself wondering just how good Inter would be if they ever signed a player under the age of 44. because I looked at the team yesterday, and Jesse mentioned the Arnautovic and Alexis Sanchez and players like that, and it's just they just keep buying all these old guys, and I just think if they bought some younger players and slotted them into this, they could be a real threat. I think they're a better team now than they were when they reached the Champions League final last season. And I think there'll be some teams who will be very glad to have seen them go out at this stage.
I think you're right. And I find it weird that Inzaghi, I don't see him mentioned with the big vacancies that are going to be here in the summer. I haven't seen that at all.
I did.
Have you? Sorry, who have you seen him linked with? Barcelona?
Liverpool.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, crikey. Okay. Maybe he will be then. Well, that could be interesting.
Ha, that shut you up.
It did, didn't it?
it disappeared faster than Kate Middleton.
And I genuinely did see it as well.
Did you? Yeah. Like, fair enough. Where has your Googling led you, Emma, regards to Rick Conway?
Oh, yeah. Basically, Google says that the only notable thing about him is that he once went on loan to Bournemouth. So I'm guessing he's not the son of.
Okay.
I'm going to go the backwards way and Google Juan Roman and see if that says who his children are. I'm on it.
Why you two do that? Andy, you talked to me about Dortmund 2, PSV 0, goals from Sancho and a late one through Marco Reus. He's then the 3-1 on aggregate. PSV missing chances through Irving Lozano and Luke de Jong. James Sancho, player of the match? He's doing very well there, isn't he?
He seems very comfortable again. Yeah. He's definitely found a bit of form. It seems he is a player. He's a very talented player. He's very clearly a player who needs that arm around him and to say well done and so on. He's obviously getting that in Borussia where he feels very comfortable, very at home. I still think this probably says more about Ten Hag than it says about Jadon Sancho, to be honest with you. But yeah, Dortmund, I don't see Dortmund going much further. They've been pretty poor in the Bundesliga. They do tend to show in the cup competitions a bit better, but yeah, they're probably maybe the team in this tournament that I think probably gives people least fear. So yeah, I think it was a good performance. PSV did miss some chances. Luke de Jong's sky over the bar was particularly bad. But other than that, I thought Dortmund were quite comfortable in this, and yeah, good result for them.
Okay. So the draw for the quarterfinals is Arsenal versus Bayern Munich, Real Madrid versus Manchester City. That we played on the 9th of April, which, Andy, as I'm sure you'll know, is the anniversary of the 1992 general election. And 10th of April is okay. Atleti versus Dortmund and PSG versus Barcelona. Are you happy with that tie? Because I get the feeling Bayern obviously struggling in the Bundesliga, but this is kind of their season, isn't it? The Champions League.
Bayern's?
Yeah.
No, this isn't their season. They're too old at this point. I just think, don't get me wrong, they've got some great servants in there who deserve this one last crack at it, but no, they need a big overhaul, kind of similar to what Nagelsmann's just done for Germany, actually. I kind of feel that Bayern are almost like a smaller version of that, where Nagelsmann's made some real wholesale changes. I kind of feel that Bayern are on the verge of needing that as well. Harry Kane's 30 now, you know, they don't have him for a hugely long time, and they need to maximise what they've got around them. I think even some of the younger players, I think they could do with moving on. I feel like Leroy Sané is a talented player, but too often flatters to deceive. I also think he's pretty greedy as a player. I think that's an issue. Kingsley Coman is a good, talented player, but is he world class? Probably not. I don't think this is Bayern's year in the cup. I mean, Lazio gave them a right scare, and Lazio are have been pretty poor in Serie A this season as well. I don't think this is their year. And again, I think if they want to get back on top next year, they either need to poach Leverkusen's manager, which is a real possibility, or they need to make some real wholesale player changes, I think.
All right, Emmy, you've got Barcelona in the...
No, you are Barcelona.
You've got PSG, sorry, in the next round. So are you ready for lots of videos of Sergio Roberto scoring the late winner back from whenever it was?
That was a time, wasn't it?
How do you reckon you're going to get on?
I don't think it's the worst draw we could have got.
No? I agree with you, yeah.
Because it's PSG, isn't it? They're like a whole team of bottlers. So there's that. It'll be nice for Luis Enrique to come home, so that's nice. But I am afraid that Dembele will have the two good games he's contractually obliged to have this season. Unless he's injured, of course, which he probably will be.
Yeah. And then, Jesse, the other two times, Real Madrid versus Manchester City and then Atleti versus Dortmund. What do you make of those two?
I feel like they both have the potential to be either very boring or not, but in very different ways, if that makes sense. Like, they're both really solid matchups, but that they could also wind up just like canceling each other out.
Yeah. Okay. Right, well, that's the Champions League. Then elsewhere in the Europa League, West Ham 5, Freiburg 0. So West Ham go through 5-1 on aggregate. Two goals from Kudos there. Brighton 1, Roma 0, though they went out 4-1 on aggregate. Liverpool 6, Sparta Prague 1, 11-2 on aggregate there for Sparta. Sorry, for Liverpool to go through.
Great goal from Nunez.
He was, wasn't it? Lovely little goal. Mo Salah, 20 goals in the season for the seventh successive season. Andy, I'm afraid we're going to talk about Rangers 1, nil Benfica 1. Go out 3-2 in aggregate. Goal from Da Silva. I thought you both had chances. This is quite an open game, this, wasn't it?
Yes. I couldn't help but see the Sparta Prague result and think how much I'd rather would draw in Sparta Prague rather than Benfica, especially considering how Sparta conceded those first four goals, which was just an absolute shambles. But yeah, Benfica, I saw it described before the tie that they are the best team with the worst manager. The impression I get is that Benfica, on paper, are supremely talented, and it's Roger Schmidt who's kind of let them down. I'm a little disappointed. I feel like, especially after the 2-2 draw, that this one was here for the taking. But Rangers are also having to deal with a pretty horrendous injury list at the moment, particularly on the wings. I think we've got like six, maybe seven players that we would call first team who could play in the wings, and of those, only one was available last night, Scott Wright. I think that's an issue, given the way Clement sets his teams up to play. Benfica were always dangerous on the break, and it was always going to have a chance, and Rafa Silva is a very, very good player. A veteran, knows how to play in this kind of environment. And so, yeah, I mean, it's disappointing. I think given the injury crisis, it's probably no bad thing that we've gone out, given that we've got a pretty hectic fixture list coming up. But yeah, it's disappointing nonetheless. There was a chance there, I think, and unfortunately we didn't quite take it.
Yeah, okay. A quick shout out for another fixture in the Europa League, which was Bayer Leverkusen 3, Karabag 2. So,
I saw this one.
Yeah, wasn't this an awful lot of fun? So Karabag had a man sent off, still managed to take the lead, and they were winning, weren't they, till Patrick Schick in the 93rd minute, was it?
Third, I think.
Yeah. Two very late goals from Patrick Schick, who came on as a sub, I think, didn't he? Sensationally sent by Leverkusen through to the next round. Felt quite sorry for Karabag.
I did too, especially because they could have, like, there was a chance that there was going to be a penalty for them tied up.
Yes.
In the, you know, what was it, 99th minute?
Yeah.
And so they really, I think emotionally for them to have been winning for 90 plus, give up two very quick goals. The second one probably that the keeper should have saved. And then almost get it back.
Yeah.
Very fun to watch. And Xavi's just so handsome.
Yeah, okay.
I think just quite well on Karabag, I think that the boy who plays up front for them, Janinho, over the two legs, is probably bought to sell a big move in the summer, because he was excellent in both ties, and he looks a real good player. So, yeah.
Okay, one to keep our eye out for. So the draw for the quarterfinals is Bayer Leverkusen, West Ham, Benfica, Marseille, Liverpool, Atalanta, and Milan versus Roma. Europa League. Oh, also in the it was the Europa Conference League. So Aston Villa 4, Ajax 0. So Aston Villa go through 4-0 aggregate. But quick shout out to Maccabi Tel Aviv versus Olympiakos. So Maccabi Tel Aviv 1, Olympiakos 6. Olympiakos go through 5-7 on aggregate. So after the first leg, I can only imagine Maccabi thought they got it in the bag. Stephen Jovetovic scoring his first European goal in 14 years. And of course, Maccabi Tel Aviv managed by, guess who, Andy?
I feel like the way you're saying that, I should know who that is.
Robbie Keane.
God, right, okay. I didn't even know he was managing, to be honest with you.
No,
I mean, it might not be after that, but I mean...
No. So next round, Aston Villa playing Lille, Club Brugge playing PAOK, Victoria Pilsen versus Fiorentina, and if you're a fan of Pyro and Tifo, then it's Olympiacos versus Fenerbahce. In the Premier League this week, on Monday, it was Manchester City 3, Newcastle 2. Goals from Nicholas Jackson, Cole Palmer with his 19th goal involvement of the season. So they've got 11 goals and 8 assists, and Mekhi Mudryk. But I want to just quickly talk about Bournemouth 4, Luton 3. Luton 3-0 up at half-time. Lovely goal from Dominic Solanke in the second half. Zabani in 2 goals from Semenyo. If you were sat down the right end, you'd have seen 7 goals. If you were sat down the wrong end, you'd have seen Nacho. Quite a comeback this for Bournemouth, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a shock that they were 3-0 down in the first place, but Errol, as a team, is always going to create chances, and Wooten, being a promoted team and still kind of down that neck of the woods trying to fight off relegation, there was always a chance that if Bournemouth could get one back early, that Wooten could collapse and so prove to be the case. That's not to take any away from Bournemouth, who were excellent. Solanke's goal, as you said, was really good. Semenyo also looks like a real talent. The Bournemouth won't give up that kind of game, and yeah, unfortunate for Luton, but also not hugely surprising.
No, anyway, how do you reckon this is going to affect Luton for the rest of the season? This could defeat you psychologically quite badly, couldn't it, a result like this? 3-0 is a dangerous lead.
I hope it affects them really negatively.
You're not a fan, are you?
No, I'm just not. I just don't have a lot of time for, you know, racist fans. And
there's so many of them.
And singing about tragedies and stuff. I don't have a lot of time for it.
No, we don't want Tommy Robinson having good things, do we?
We don't.
I did see the tifo that Brighton took to Roma.
Mm. Oh my God, it was the best thing.
I think tifo should only be in that vein now.
So like, describe it then. Describe it for any listeners who didn't see it.
I can't say it in Italian. Emma, can you do it in Italian?
Yeah,
I think you can do anything. Seriously, Emma can do.
My Italian is really bad these days because I don't speak it enough. But they said, "Tutti adora la Anna sola pizza," which means Tutti loves pineapple on pizza.
that's so
really
good.
Funny.
Quite a niche thing.
Yeah.
Excellent. And finally, in Europe Land this week, it was fast becoming my favourite tournament. It's the UEFA Youth League. So this is like the under-19s league, and they play their own sort of Champions League in the week that the men's team play Champions Leagues, and it was the quarterfinals this week. So these are one-off games as well. There's no two legs to this. So Olympiacos beat Bayern 3-1, and Nantes beat somebody. Copenhagen.
One of the teams.
They beat Copenhagen 5-4 on penalties. And then on the Wednesday, I watched a couple of good games. So we had Milan 1, Real Madrid 1. Milan won 4-3 on penalties. It was only the second goal in the competition Real Madrid had conceded all season. The Milan goalkeeper, I can't remember his name, he's a French guy, but he looks really, really good for the future. And Mainz won Porto 4. So Mainz not having a very good season. The men's team aren't having a very good season. So by all accounts, and you could see this watching the game, the Mainz Ultras have taken the youth team under their wing. There were an awful lot of them making a huge racket. So this Mainz team have beaten Barcelona and Manchester City already in the knockout stages. Porto was just a little road too far. They lost 4-1 at home to Porto. Rodrigo Moura with a couple of goals. He looks quite the talent for Porto. But the semi-finals are Porto versus Milan, Olympiacos versus Nantes on the 19th of April. Guys, I cannot emphasise enough how fun this tournament is. And if you're working from home one day, see if you can watch that. It's for free on UEFA TV.
Oh, okay. I might check that out.
Yeah, they're quite good fun. 5 Spanish teams in the start of this tournament, Emma, and there's none left now.
Aww. And I said I was going to watch it with you next week.
You were.
And now there's no Spanish teams. What's the point?
I can't remember the other teams. It's Real Sociedad were in, and I think Athletic Bilbao.
Athletic were in, right?
Yes, they were. That's right. Yeah, they were. They went out in the last round. I think Athletic, I think, were the other team. I'm not too sure. Don't quote me on that. But,
okay, yeah.
I think. But for all these games, they look an awful lot of fun, but they look to be taking place in very, very cold weather. So it was 16 degrees, apparently, in Milan when they played that game, but it looked like a very cold 16 degrees. It looked like if you're in the shade, you'd need several layers. But I urge you to watch this because season upon season, it's quite good fun. What else have we got around the world? So Jesse Coppola-Vittadori's third round qualifying second leg. So Red Bull Bragantino won, Botafogo go through 3-2 in aggregate. Palestino of Chile won, Nacional 3, Nacional of Paraguay, and Palestino went through 3-1 on penalties. Other Nacional of Uruguay 2, Always Ready 1. A 93rd minute Matteo Antoni winner helped Nacional go through, and Nacional win 5-4 on penalties. I guess, are you happy for Uruguayan representation, or are you not happy it's them?
Yeah, here's my weirdness. I don't know if you all are the same way. Emma, I know, isn't, but we obviously hate Nacional when they're playing in Uruguay.
Mm.
But when they're the only Uruguayan team outside of Uruguay, it's hard not to support them.
I don't have that with other teams in England, not even for the coefficient. Sorry to
but
say.
But like if like Turkey were playing in a championship with like various other teams, would you be like, okay, they're Cornish enough?
No, they're Devon. No.
Damn it.
I don't think there is a team in Cornwall, right?
It's Truro City.
The mighty
currently playing their games 195 miles away. Their home games, they're having to play almost 200 miles away because they don't have a home at the moment.
Is that even in Cornwall?
200 miles away? No, you're about four counties away. What else have we got? So, and Colo-Colo beat Sporting Trinidense 2-1. That's also 2-1 in aggregate. Arturo Vidal played in that game, so he's still knocking around. In the Asian Champions League, in the West Division, Al Nassr 4, Al-Ain of, I think it was Qatar, 3. So Cristiano Ronaldo scored 118th minute penalty to send the tie through to a penalty shootout. However, they didn't go very well for them. So, he scored his penalty, but Marcel Brozovic, Alex Telles, and Otavio Mistares and Al-Ain won 3-1 on penalties. Poor old Ronaldo's Al Nassr are out of the Asian Champions League. Don't we feel for him. Al-Ittihad lost 2-0 at home to Al-Hilal, so Al-Hilal go through 4-1 in aggregate. In the East, Ulsan HD 1, Jeonbuk Hyundai Motors 0, so Ulsan go through 2-1 on aggregate. Yokohama Mariners 1, Shandong Taishan 0, so Yokohama go through 3-1 aggregate. So the semi-finals would be Al-Ain versus Al-Hilal on the 16th of April, and Ulsan versus Yokohama on the 17th of April. And finally, Jesse, sticking over with you, the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
Yes, it's a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a stupid thing.
It's a thing nonetheless.
It's a thing.
So, Pachuca of Mexico beat Philadelphia Union 6-0 on aggregate. Solomon Rondon with 2 goals. Robin Hood.
Yeah.
They got as far as... Yeah. Robin...
They're not good. No. They need to steal some goals from richer teams.
Hey. Robin Hood of Suriname 1. Herediano of Costa Rica 1. So Herediano go through 3-1 on aggregate. Club America 2. Guadalajara 3. So Club America go through 5-3 on aggregate. Jesse.
Miami? Where are you going?
No. Alajuelense. Alajuelense.
I'm going to give you that.
Okay.
Wasn't
too bad.
Yeah.
One, New England Revolution 1, so the former go through 5-1 in aggregate. Columbus Crew 1, Houston Dynamo 1, so Columbus go through 2-1 aggregate. UENL of Mexico 4, Orlando 2, they go through, UENL do. Monterrey 2, Cincinnati 1, they go through 3-1 aggregate. And finally, Inter Miami 3, Nashville 1.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, okay, so Suarez and Messi scored for Inter Miami, 2 of their 3 goals. I think it's some guy called Taylor scored. And then Sam Surridge.
I love this. So, first of all, I hate that I love this, but I love their pink kits. They just make me so happy. And the seats in their stadium, which apparently isn't Miami, are pink. Like, yeah, it's like somebody asked their 7-year-old kid to design a team, and they did, and I loved it.
Fair enough.
Emma, Suarez, Messi, Alba, and Busquets. It's like, you know, remember the charity matches that players used to, like, that we actually used to be able to see, where players were like, my best friends and I are going to play a game.
Yeah.
That is this. They are just loving each other so much. It's so cute.
I want them to get Iniesta, too.
I feel like they're just, like, that's what I feel like they're doing. That they're just, like, calling their buddies and being like, it's really nice in Miami. You guys should come hang out.
Did you see them?
Is Chabby to go and be manager?
Did you see them when they met Ricky Puig the other week when they played LA Galaxy?
Wait, I actually thought that they were, when I saw the video, I thought that it was like a ball boy, because he just looks like an 11-year-old small child.
Does he still look like he's like 10?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, truly. Aww. I was like, who is this that they're all like rubbing his hair?
This is our son. We raised him.
He's so small.
Yeah. Aww. I feel like I need to support Inter Miami, but I don't want to.
Same. I have the same feeling. I'm like, I'm mad at myself for wanting to see.
Well, you're a Red Bulls fan, aren't you, Jesse?
Yeah, but only in the way where, like, yeah, but they don't have Uruguayans. And Suarez is doing so well.
Okay.
I'm so happy for him.
I know.
He's back with his friends. He looks happy. It's the cutest.
I know. And he, like, his English is so bad. So I'm like, you're going to be okay in Miami.
And Andy, are you also pleased for racists?
No, I was just going to say, I'm glad he's got a role we can get his teeth into.
Hey!
Right, fine.
Hey.
You know what? Let's have Emma.
Yeah. That's our boy.
Okay, right, in Europe land this week. So in Spain, Real Madrid are on 69 points, lol. Girona 62, sorry. They've lost 3 out of their last 5. Barcelona 61, Atleti on 55. So it's Atleti versus Barca, Getafe versus Girona, Osasuna versus Real Madrid, and just Sevilla versus Celta Vigo, Emma. So Rafa Benitez has been sacked, hasn't he? And they're now fourth bottom.
Yeah, poor Rafa.
Are they not good? Is he not good?
No, they're better not both. Good. They're not good. There are worse teams than them, though, so they should be fine.
Yeah, okay.
Should be.
Should be. In Italy, Inter on 75, AC Milan 59, Juventus 58, and Bologna 51, so it is Juventus versus Genoa, Inter versus Napoli, Verona versus Milan, Empoli versus Bologna. In Germany, Bayer Leverkusen 67, Bayern 57, Stuttgart 53, Dortmund 47. So it is Hoffenheim versus Stuttgart, Darmstadt versus Bayern. Bayern, of course, had that 8-1 last week, which Jared went to. Jared was in the game for that one. It was his 21st Yay. Birthday present from his parents. I know.
All of our babies are growing up.
I know.
So old.
Freiburg versus Bayer Leverkusen, Dortmund versus Frankfurt. And finally in France, it's PSG 56 points, 10 points ahead of Brest, then Monaco 45, Lille 42. So it's Brest v Lille, Montpellier PSG, Monaco versus Lorient this weekend. Other games around the world, it's the Poznan derby in Poland as Lech play the team I've written down. Water, I think.
Water? What?
I don't
that
know.
That can't be a real name.
W-A-R-T-A.
W-A-R. No.
I'm going to have to get
sure,
you.
Sure, if you want.
Yeah.
I'm not going to change.
It is the Oceania Champions League qualifying second legs. So, Wellington Olympic play Auckland City. Auckland are 1-0 up from the first leg. And then Tofana and Pirae, both of Tahiti, they play, and that's 1-1 from the first leg. So you get to choose your Oceania Champions League team soon. In Cyprus, it's the eternal derby as Apoel Nicosia play Ammonia Nicosia. In Ecuador, it's the Superclásico de Quito as cross-dressers Quito de Quito play Acuas. And in El Salvador, it's the Clásico Nacional, more cross-dressers here ever, CD Ajuela versus CD FAS. In South Africa, it's the Orlando Pirates versus Hungry Lions. Who do you want to win, Pirates or Hungry Lions?
Oh, Hungry Lions.
Hungry Lions.
Yeah. In Zambia, it's the Green Eagles versus the Green Buffaloes. Who are you cheering for here?
Eagles.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Andy?
Buffaloes.
Oh, okay. And in Mexico, there's a super classico as Guadalajara play somebody else. It's America, isn't it?
That's true. Sorry. They do play someone
else. Right, time for you guys to do some talking. Okay, so there's been an emphasis on player-coach relationships in the women's game here in England the last few weeks. So the Leicester City coach, women's coach, Willie Kirk, is that nominative determinism? Consider what we're perhaps talk about. He's been investigated by the club following allegations of inappropriate behaviour or inappropriate relationships. This follows on from Mark Sampson being dismissed from the England job in 2017 after allegations of inappropriate relations within the Bristol Academy. So Aston Villa manager Carla Ward has said it's, quote, crossing the line. Emma Hayes has said any such relationship is, quote, inappropriate. Ex-England defender Anita Asante has said this sort of behaviour or these relationships are, quote, challenging but not inappropriate. So,
I think she was talking about players having relationships with each other, coaches and players.
So we're beyond the Ross Geller sort of frowned upon but not illegal type of relationship, aren't we?
Emma Hayes said that she thought it was also wrong for players to have relationships with each other.
Did she?
And I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, and then all of the lesbians were like, excuse me?
Yeah.
All the lesbians.
All of them. Every single one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, well, that's just crazy talk. I don't know what's difficult to manage about that. That feels like a you problem, not a them problem.
Okay, so...
They're all right about the players' coaches thing because that's someone with a position of power. That's all wrong. They should not be taking advantage of that position.
No, that's fair enough. So anyone sort of saying the course of true love and all that sort of thing, you can't help who you fall in love with. Well, you can help who you work with, I guess, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Andy, any thoughts on this?
Not just a degree. The power dynamic makes player-coach relationships, I imagine, just very difficult to begin with. But yeah, the Emma Hayes coming out and saying that players shouldn't be in relationship with each other seems draconian.
Yeah, that seems really odd. In your, you obviously don't have to say what you do for your jobs, but in the course of your working life, if one of your colleagues had or began a relationship with a manager within the office, would that make either of you or any of you feel uncomfortable at all? Would it change the office dynamic at all?
I mean, are they also attached to other people, and is it consensual?
It's consensual, but no, these are just are two single people getting together. Oh, one is a manager, one is a normal employee like you and me.
But like the manager is the manager of the other person?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm trying to think of a football equivalent scenario in the office jobs where we work.
I think it's what Andy said, though. Like, I think whenever there's a power differential, there can't really be consent.
No. Karen Brady, when she became managing director of Birmingham City, famously, she sold her husband. That was one of the first things she did.
So, did you say she sold her husband?
Yes. He was a player playing for them. Sorry.
Oh.
Sorry. I forgot to... Paul Pesci-Salido. Do you remember him, Andy?
I do remember him. Yeah, I remember the situation at the time as well.
Yeah. So she sold him to... he did a tour of lots of clubs around the sort of East Midlands. I think he went to Port Vale or somewhere. But he was a handy little player.
Well, she didn't think so.
No. Well, I do remember on the back of his shirt, they only used to write Pesh on the back of his shirt because it was too many letters. So there we go.
Emma Hayes is going to have a tough time with the US women's team if that's her view of players' relationships.
Oh, is any players within the US team together then, are they?
Kristen Press and Tobin Heath have been together for a few years, yeah.
Okay. Well, she can't drop one of them, can she? Right, speaking of other things, Jamie Carragher has been making headlines this week. He made a rather derogatory comment about the love life of Kate Abdo, who looked quite peeved when he said it. He tried to laugh it off. Micah Richards looked down at his shoes, and I think Thierry Henry thought he'd said something wrong. How many times are rich white men allowed to fail, Jesse?
As many as they want. Sorry, Jesse.
Yeah. I'm more upset, honestly, by, because Jamie Carragher's a piece of shit. Who cares? But I'm more upset that everybody, that like no one else seems to have said anything. I mean, he's still on I Love Ian Wright, but he's still on the podcast with Ian Wright and Roy Keane. Neither one of them has said anything. Micah Richards isn't, like, protect, it shouldn't be her job to not only protect herself, but to point out when her coworkers are doing the wrong thing. Like, the people who have more power than her, the other men, should, like, you know, say something and check him.
I thought she handled it very well the next day with
amazing. She's so full of grace. Yeah.
Does he owe anyone a public apology, or does he just owe her an apology?
He owes her an apology.
Yes, so
that doesn't really matter. As okay. long as he apologizes.
I feel like he needs to, even if it's not a public apology, I feel like he does need to say something in public because he's a public figure, mm-hmm. and like can influence people. Like, it would be really important for him to come out and say, like, that was not acceptable.
Okay. Do you both feel that, Andy and Emma?
Yes. She's amazing, though. She's a queen. I love her.
same.
Yeah, the apology shouldn't just be for Kate. It should be for anyone who finds themselves in that situation where they're being... I mean, it could turn around and say, oh, I didn't mean it. I was trying to make a joke. I made it very badly. The point is that she's the one who then had to come back onto the programme 24 hours later and give that whole speech about how the rest of the cast were brothers, which she shouldn't have had to do. His apology or his contrition should be wider than just directed at Kate. It should be a wider acknowledgement that this is a problem women have to face in every field, and that it's wrong and it shouldn't be happening.
Okay. There's only so many times you can...
I love you all so much. You're just... It sucks that we are not all close enough that I can hug you when you say delightful things that give me faith in humanity.
Yeah, thank you. That's really kind of you to say.
He doesn't mean you.
He doesn't mean me, no, no. I'm aware I'm the one asking the questions, not saying the really good things, don't worry. but yeah, there's only so far being a banterous Scully will take you, isn't there? But although he seems to be able to spit at children and do these things, but so maybe...
It's like he's bulletproof.
I know.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Someone reprimand him.
Yeah.
What a good person. I think he's only bulletproof because of his relationship with other people. People enjoy the Neville Carragher dynamic. People enjoy the Richards Carragher dynamic. I think it's less about him being bulletproof and more that he is shielded by bulletproof... what's the word I'm looking for? Colleagues? I think it's more that than anything else.
Maybe if Richards or Henri had said something at the time live on TV, you can't say that. Maybe that would have had more of an impact than, you know, even that probably would have made him think more than what she said the next day in her introduction. Because it's one thing...
Jeremy's face kind of looked like he wanted to say something.
Yeah, and maybe he would... I mean, I'd give him the benefit of the doubt.
I didn't think he realised.
Caught in the moment.
I don't think... I think he did.
I do think he did.
I don't think he properly heard what Carragher said. Michael Richards definitely did. I don't think... Because there's a look of confusion on Henri's face afterwards. I don't quite think he...
Yeah, that's why I think he understood.
Okay.
why did he say that?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought... Because immediately she said, why would you say that? And I thought Henri thought that she was saying that to him. I thought. That's how I took it.
I didn't get it that way.
Okay. Fair enough. Real Madrid have filed a complaint against Atleti to the Spanish legal authorities after video showed Atleti fans shouting racial abuse before the Champions League game versus Inter regarding Vinicius Jr. The league will also report the incidents. Vinny Jr. said on X, or Twitter, he said, quote, I hope you have already thought about their punishment, UEFA. What's the reaction to this being in Spain?
Let me tell you what their punishment will be. Nothing.
You have to pay a 5,000 euro fine and play a game with the stand closed.
Yeah, and what kind of punishment is that? It's no. Nothing, isn't it?
No, that's fair.
Is it going to change what happens to that man routinely?
No.
Horrible.
No.
I feel like to be able to buy a ticket to a match in La Liga this year, you should have to take, like, racial sensitivity training. Like, it should be a requirement.
Yeah, you should have, like, proof of good conduct.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... It's not a Spain thing, is it? Because you have players racially abused in Italy fairly often. I mean,
it's a racism thing.
It's a racism thing. Yeah, you have it over here, and not just with racism. You have the tragedy chanting. You have the two Sheffield Wednesday fans who showed Sunderland fans the photos of Bradley Lowry earlier on in the season and things like that. It's just... Yeah, it's just a very toxic male behaviour when people get together like that, isn't it?
Yeah, and I guess a lot of them will say, well, it was alcohol that made me do it. And you're like, well, okay, but maybe someone put some sort of policing law which says you can't be drunk in the stadium?
Yeah.
I think that's it, but also, like, we have all been drunk. I'm going to go ahead and make the assumption.
Mm-hmm.
And I will also go ahead and assume that we've maybe been stupid when we're drunk, but we're not racist, because if you're racist when you're drunk, it means you're racist as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a difference between being drunk and, like, texting your ex.
Yes, thank you.
And racially abusing someone.
I'm so glad.
Well, the worst thing is I have not needed alcohol today. Thanks.
I'm so glad I got together with my partner in 1997 before texting was really a thing. I've never had to do any drunk texting.
I was just going to say, it kind of feels to me like the starting point for this should be that if you want to apply for a season ticket for a club or anything, you should have to sit a Myers-Briggs test. Just get an idea of what kind of person you are before they let you sign up for one.
Yeah. Rafinha has dropped Marco Gruhl, Guido Bergstaller and Niklas Heidel from the Austria squad for taking part in homophobic chanting after the recent Vienna derby. Rangnick said, everything we stand for with the national team is at the other end of the scale. And also, who here would like to play football for their national team? Stick your metaphorical hands in the air or shout me, me, me.
Wait, I'm going to ruin things for you. Can we go back a hot second? And yep. First of all, like, hooray, Ralf Rangnick, but also that should be the standard. Like, that should be the standard for sort of anything.
Mm.
Like, sorry if you take part in homophobic, transphobic, racist, whatever chanting, you're done.
Yes.
And, like, it shouldn't just be, like, a one manager being, like, doing that. I feel like if policies are like that, same with fans. Like, sorry, you can't come back for at least a year.
Yeah. I think so. That's not an unreasonable thing to say, and I look forward to having this similar conversation in a couple of years' time when Mason Greenwood's been back in the England team. Because, you know,
yeah,
there's every chance it could happen. Well, all you need is a tone-deaf manager to pick him, and then the furore happen, and then they have to drop him. I can see it happening at some point in the future. So Ben White has made himself unavailable for England, but the door is always open, says Gareth Southgate. Apparently this was a conversation they had after the Qatar World Cup. And I can kind of see where Ben White comes from. It's the club that pay his wages. And if you're not a guaranteed starter like Ben White, then basically you're giving up an awful lot of your time to go travelling around Europe for two games in a week where you might only play 10 minutes. And, you know, I'd rather be at home, wouldn't you guys? or is playing for your country the be-all and end-all? Andy, are you...
And they're only friendlies, right?
Yeah. I mean, Andy, are you are you there belting out Flower of Scotland alongside Gordon Strachan and Graeme Souness, or are you...
No, I am proud to be Scottish. Mm-hmm. But no, I I'm fully with Ben White on this one. Ben White should be free to make these decisions. I think the tying of national pride to want to play to your nation and so on is has always been overblown, particularly in England, where it's always been an issue. For instance, we were just talking about Ian Wright there. Ian Wright, of course, believes that anybody who refuses to play for England should be made to speak on the phone with like a veteran or something, a war veteran, so that he can understand what applying yourself for your country means, which is ludicrous.
Wait, are we going to fall to Ben White? Friendly to like the Battle of the Bulge, like
yes, yeah, he made that comment. Chris, you might know this was at least like 3-4 years ago, I think, wasn't it? He made the comment. But it was basically, if you refuse to play for England, you should be made to sit down and have a phone conversation with somebody who'd fought in a war.
It rings a bell, but the only time I can remember a similar situation was Chris Sutton, back in the 90s.
Yeah.
I feel like the person who fought in the war would be like, why are you calling me?
Leave me alone.
Like, what? can you give me money for my PTSD? Like, what?
Yeah, I can also think of a few veterans who'd be like, yeah, I wish I didn't sign up.
Yes.
Going to war was kind of the worst thing I ever did. Maybe you were right. Yeah,
there's plenty of things I'd rather do than play football for my country. Yeah, I'm the same as you guys. I'm not a particularly nationalistic person.
Well, also, like, I feel like if one of my players was like, you know what, I don't feel passionate enough about playing for Uruguay, I'd be like, I don't want you playing for Uruguay then, because clearly you're not going to show up and play your best. Like, stick with where you'll be your best.
Yes, excuse me.
Are you crying because we're talking about patriotism and you're overwhelmed and emotional about the crown?
No, I swallowed some water. It's
Chris,
gone down
are
the wrong
you
way.
So worried about Kate Middleton? Is that why you're emotional right now?
Sorry,
I found the quote, by the way. It was back in the 2014 World Cup. Harry Redknapp had apparently commented that some Spurs players might look to duck international duty. Ian Wright says footballers that don't want to play for England should be ordered to ring the parents of a soldier who has died in Afghanistan.
Oh my God,
that's even worse, Andy. Wow. Yeah. And yeah. Say what? What are you saying?
Well, also, I'm surprised you know, Jesse. Emma, I don't know if you're aware of the reputation of the newspaper over here called The Sun, but apparently Ian Wright wrote this, was at that point writing a column for The Sun. So it's perhaps unsurprising that he went this far with it.
There we go. Sorry, I had a coughing fit then, so thank you for bailing me out of that.
We didn't notice.
Thank you.
Wait, you had a coughing fit?
I did. I swallowed some water down the wrong hole. Sorry, but yeah, you bailed me out seamlessly all then. Thank you, everybody. Games this weekend. It's the FA Cup is back, so it's Manchester City. Manchester City versus... Well, you think that's bad. Wait, you see the Premier League games that got on offer for you. Man City versus Newcastle on Saturday. I'm looking forward to this one. Wolves versus Coventry. Nice little local Robbie Keane derby there for you. And then on Sunday, it is replay of the 2021 or 22 FA Cup finals. Chelsea play Leicester, and then Manchester United play Liverpool in the Premier League. So, 3 o'clock on Saturday is Burnley versus Brentford in the Nigel Gleghorn derby. Brian Mbeumo is possibly making his first appearance since December. Burnley's last 10 in the league, they've drawn 3, lost 7. It's not going great for them. Brentford's last 17 in the league, they've won 3, drawn 1, lost 17. And they've dropped 28 points for winning positions. And they conceded 17 goals from headers. That's the most since Leeds in 1993. So, I bet you wish you're watching the FA Cup now, Emma.
There's La Liga games too.
Okay, fair enough. Could any of us summon up the strength to talk about this game?
No.
Why?
I'll just very quickly say on Brentford, I kind of feel like Ivan Toney's stock has probably actually gone down slightly since he came back. It felt like when he was away, there was this ideal of what Ivan Toney was and what he could potentially be to a title challenger. there was talk of like 70-90 million pounds being required to prize him from Brentford. He's not quite had the effect I think they expected when he came back.
Yeah, he started well, didn't he?
He started okay, and then last few weeks, I've seen some highlights, and it just feels like he's getting involved in wee petty arguments on the field and song like that. Maybe it's just ring rust.
Yeah, maybe.
Or could he be used it, to but... get all his yayas out by gambling, and now he can't gamble, and he like doesn't know what to do.
He has to wear the name of a gambler on the front of his shirt, and he just looks at it thinking, what on earth am I supposed to be doing here? Well, when he plays this weekend, it will be his 28th birthday, so maybe he'll be in a better mood.
I wouldn't bet on it.
Wee. Okay, also 3 o'clock is Luton versus Nottingham Forest in the Gary Parker derby. Giarena is a possibility, and Gonzalo Montiel is still out. I have written next to both these players' names, life choices, ? Giarena playing for Dortmund, of course. Gonzalo Montiel, not long too long ago, scoring the winning penalty in the World Cup final, now playing for Forest versus Luton.
Life
I do wonder if they're sort of looking around and thinking, what on earth have we done? Luton have lost their last three at home, but they've only failed to find the net once at home this season. Forest, they've lost 12 out of their last 17 games in the league. So how do we feel this game's going to go?
I kind of feel like Gio Reyna should be dad's life choices.
Sorry, Emma, go on as well. Sorry.
No,
sorry.
Em, I love what you said.
I didn't hear what you said. Sorry.
I was just asking whether any of these games were being televised.
You're going to go for a walk at this point, are you?
Like, why force these on people?
Yeah.
I've got no idea. But
These are proper 1970s match of the day. Matches. These are back when the games were played on, like, mudslides.
These
so much better, honestly.
That sounds like fun.
These are ITV4, the big match games, aren't they, Andy? So they'll show this with like Brian Moore commentating from 1981 with Ray Harford.
Yeah, these are back in the days when like 27-year-olds had comb overs and looked like 50-year-olds and stuff. It's, this is definitely. I'm genuinely. I'm looking at this and I feel very sorry for Spurs, because that's genuinely the worst lineup of Premier League games I think I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, 5:30 is Fulham versus Spurs in the Clint Dempsey derby. Spurs won 3 out of 4, and in their last two games they scored 7 goals. Fulham had won 2 in a row before losing to Wolves last weekend, so these are two teams that are do fairly well. Jesse, how do you see this one going?
Chris.
How's it going to go?
I mean, when we play well, we're like obligated to then play terribly, and Vendeven is still, bless you
Andy,
sorry,
but that match against Villa was just a gem and a joy.
Yes,
I'm feeling like slightly more confident, but I will be unsurprised if we go out flaming.
All right, okay, Andy and Emma, what do you reckon to this fixture?
Oh, Spurs are gonna win like 5-0.
Okay, I kind of get the feeling, Andy, that it all depends on which Fulham will turn up for this game.
I think you could also make the argument which Spurs will turn up, just because, yeah, again, not just the fact that it's Spurs, but the fact that it's an Ange Postecoglou team means that defensively, you're never entirely sure which Spurs are going to show up. And as much as Fulham are in kind of average up and down form at the moment, Munoz has been very good for them recently, and he'll be a threat up front. So you would expect Spurs to win this game, but this also, as Jesse said, feels like the type of game where expecting too much might be the downfall here. But I'll go for Spurs for a narrow win in this one.
All right, and there's one game on Sunday, which is West Ham versus Aston Villa in the David Cameron derby. Aston Villa won 4-1 at Villa Park in October in this fixture. They had won 3 in a row, Villa, before the loss last weekend to Spurs. West Ham have got 7 points at their last 9 available, but they did draw to Burnley last weekend, weirdly. How do we think this one's up? West Ham are a very, very unpredictable team to predict.
Yeah, I was going to say, my question for on the West Ham is, how the hell are they 7th?
Yeah.
Because it feels like David Moyes has been on the verge of the sack for like half the season, and yet they're 7th and quite comfortable. comfortable, and they're performing quite well in Europe. That when I looked up the table there, I couldn't believe they were that high. I kind of half expected to see them in like 13th.
Yes, exactly. Girls, what do you think to this one? Ladies, Eden, whatever's you prefer.
Yes, please refer to us as whatever's. It's,
yeah.
Babes.
Feels right.
What do you both think to this fixture?
I think I sneezed my brain out.
Oh, no.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
We're talking about West Ham versus Aston Villa.
Oh. I don't know what when I said to them at halftime last weekend, but it was the wrong thing. So I really hope he doesn't do that again. I like Unai, though. I want good things for them, so I hope they win.
All right, Jesse?
I don't like Villa because of Argentinians and my boss, unless he's listening. And then I'm fine with them. But I also don't like David Moyes. Oh, this is a tricky one for me personally. I don't know, you guys. What should I do?
Hope for a draw?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
We'll do that.
It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to be watching it.
Okay, right. That brings us to the end of our roundup, end of our podcast. Any other business, anybody?
Oh, I have a thing.
Yes, go on.
Sorry
to mean Andy.
So, Uruguay hosted the rugby, some big competition.
Okay.
And Uruguay won, guys.
Oh, well done, Uruguay rugby team.
Against Papua New Guinea.
Oh, okay. Very good.
You sounded disappointed then.
I know.
Like, oh,
are
okay.
Are you a secret Papua New Guinea fan?
No.
I wish it was New Zealand or...
Well, yeah, I mean, beating New Zealand, that would be an incredible thing.
But they won the whole tournament. The sevens.
Oh, the rugby sevens. Yes, I know what you mean.
Okay. I don't know what I mean. Oh, yes.
Very good.
I think they play that in the Olympics, right?
Yes, they do.
Is that like a kind of rugby? Like sevens is a different type of rugby?
Yes. Normally there's 15 people on a rugby team. And in sevens...
Oh, it's like five aside for rugby.
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I guess so.
Go teams.
Go teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Okay, right. Well, that brings us to the end of our podcast, the end of our rugby roundup. Andy, if they want to follow you on Twitter, how do they do that?
I would not recommend it.
I would. You're my favourite on Twitter.
Oh, thank you very much. I don't believe that for a minute, but thank you for humouring me anyway. Yeah, they can find me at Site Tyson.
Perfect. Emma and Jesse, they can't find you.
Can they buy your book?
They can. They can buy my book, Emancipation for Goalposts, from oakleybooks.co.uk. Thank you very much. So Dave and Simon and Chris, and last week, I don't know if it's a regular thing or not, Ali. Might be back on Monday to round up the games that we've been previewing. If you'd like to hear, you can give us a nice little review on iTunes and give us a follow at Man of the Post on Instagram and Twitter, and give us a follow on Facebook. So, guys, thank you ever so much, and always remember to keep your Man of the Post.